And now, this is Stan Bengtson introducing Pastor Stan as he speaks on the subject, Your Faith in God's Word. Pastor Stan.
Thank you, and we're happy and grateful, dear friends, to be on the air again with the wonderful gospel of the wonderful grace of God. We're getting on with our series of messages in which, as promised, I'm trying to give you, our radio listeners, the gist of some of our published writings. For this broadcast, we've chosen the title, Your Faith in God's Word. Is it superstitious or intelligent? There are two great words that specially characterize God's dealings with men in this present age. The one is grace, the other faith. Grace from God toward man, and faith from man toward God. Grace freely bestowing salvation, and faith gladly accepting it. Each is essential to salvation, grace on God's part, and faith on ours. God does not require works or prayers or tears for salvation. He doesn't demand a good record or a good character, but He does require faith. He wants to be believed. He wants men to trust Him. Regardless of the past or even the present, He will graciously and gloriously save anyone who will just trust Him. That's why He says in the Hebrews 11:6, that without faith, without believing, it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe not only that he is, but also that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. He does not force salvation on unbelievers. He offers it for their acceptance, for grace and faith go together. One is the complement to the other. Grace gives, faith receives. And so Paul says, by divine inspiration in Ephesians 2:8, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Now faith in God must necessarily begin with faith in the Word of God. There can be no faith in God apart from divine revelation. It's sometimes said that seeing is believing, but this is the very opposite of the truth when you think it through. It's when men do not believe that they ask to see, and when they have seen, they need no longer believe. For what a man seeth, says Romans 8:24, why doth he yet hope for? And in 2 Corinthians 5:7 we read, for we walk by faith, not by sight. The phrase seeing is believing, like the one I'm from Missouri, is in itself an indication of unbelief. Romans 10:17 says, so then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We believe what we hear, and we hear what's been said. And in God's case, we believe what we hear from God, and we hear what has been said by God. Taking God at His word. This is faith. Now it's sad that many, rather than study the Bible to attain to a better understanding of what God has said and become more proficient in using that sword of the Spirit, actually boast that they have gotten no farther than the simple things. I've heard that since childhood. Some man will say, he might be a big businessman, but he says, I'm only a simple man, and I enjoy the simple things. This after all the earnest prayers of Paul that believers might have the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Christ, the eyes of their understanding being enlightened that they may be able to comprehend and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, and to stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. This, after all his labor and strife and conflict, I'm using his words now all through, that God's children might have the full assurance of understanding, after all his reproof of those carnal babies to whom he could preach nothing more than Jesus Christ and him crucified, whom he could feed only with milk, because they couldn't digest solid food. Read it for yourself in the first and third chapters of Ephesians, and the first chapter of Colossians, and especially 1 Corinthians 2, chapters 2 and 3. It's a deplorable fact, beloved, that many who consider themselves quite spiritual are in truth merely emotional and should be ashamed of their indifference to the written word of God rather than proud of their contentment with what they call the simple things. For while they claim fervent faith in God, they scarcely even trouble themselves to find out what God has actually said. They do not, like David, meditate on God's word day and night, nor like the prophets, inquire and search diligently as to its true meaning. The product of this is a faith, and I have that in quotes, which springs from the grossest ignorance. Facts are confused with feelings, and man's will with God's word, until what is supposed to be faith turns out to be nothing more than a blind superstition that can only displease and dishonor God. Do you remember when the treasurer of Ethiopia sat in his chariot pondering over Isaiah 53, trying so hard to understand its meaning? The Lord called Philip away from a great evangelistic campaign and go and explain the passage to him. And Acts 8:30 says, Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, Understandest thou what thou readest, or do you understand what you're reading? Has it ever occurred to you, my friend, that you can believe only precisely so much of God's word as you can understand? Don't get excited now. Just think this through. To really believe what God has said, mustn't you first understand what he has said? True, there may be many things about a passage that you don't understand while you still may believe it. You may not understand the logic of it, or how to reconcile it with another passage, or even how the statement itself can possibly be so, and still you may believe it. But if you don't even understand what the passage says, how can you possibly believe it? You may hardly believe a verse to be God's word without understanding it, but you can't possibly believe the verse until you understand what it says. Let me illustrate. Here comes a man running to tell me my house is on fire. I don't have a house, but if I had one. He comes to run to tell me, your house is on fire. But if he says it in Chinese or in some other language I don't understand, how can I either believe or doubt him? Let's remember then and never forget that God is not satisfied that we believe that the Bible is his word. God wants us to understand it intelligently and then to believe it. In other words, it's his desire that understanding what he has said, we believe it, and this has blessed results. You remember in the Old Testament when the word of God had been lost and then found again, and Ezra and the scribes carefully read and explained the word to the people, and the result, all the people went their way to eat and drink and send gifts and to make great mirth. Why? I'm reading on now in Nehemiah 8:12, because they had understood the things that were spoken. This is always the experience of those who come to understand the word of God and accept it in faith. The time is gone. Maybe you have taken the word of God in sort of an illegitimate way and as sort of a fetish. We want you to understand God's wonderful plan of salvation and to believe it. And if you are saved, we want you to come to understand God's program and to work intelligently with him in the accomplishment of it.